You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone lines. First, Lisa, listening in Santa Clarita, California, on the web. Hi.
Hi, good afternoon. My question is there hope for me to be cured from the spiritual warfare because I consulted Buddhist feng shui along with the divination of sage of the Middle East without understanding that these are detestable to the Lord?
Yeah, just repent and ask the Lord's forgiveness and move on. There's no spiritual, mystical force that binds you that Jesus Christ cannot break. So if you repent and if you receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, or if you have, and I assume you probably have by the way you frame the question, then the old has passed, the new has come. You know, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And as far as spiritual warfare is concerned, we have to put the emphasis in the right place. So often we put the emphasis on the power of Satan to bind. But really, we should be putting the emphasis on the power of the Lord to protect. So if you put on the full armor of God, you're strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, and then you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. So I would not at all worry about what happened in the past. I'd press on. I'd put on the full armor every day as we're commanded to, and then you'll be invincible in spiritual warfare.
I appreciate your help. Thank you for all your help. May the Lord bless you.
Thank you, Lisa. And if you want to hang on, we actually did an article on feng shui in the Christian Research Journal. So if you want further information, hang on. I'll be happy to send that article out to you as my gift. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Joe, El Paso, Texas. Hi, Joe.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, I want to ask you, what is a better way to approach a Jehovah's Witness? I have a family member, my family, who's Jehovah. He's actually been a Jehovah's Witness for quite some time. And I wanted to ask you, well, first of all, have you ever known anyone that you personally known, or they came to Christ, and even though they were a Jehovah's Witness for quite some time? And what is a better way, or how the strategy, how to approach them, how to witness to them?
Yeah. First of all, yes, I have seen Jehovah's Witnesses come out of the watchtower. In fact, I've seen Jehovah's Witnesses come out of the watchtower and become those who teach Christians how to witness to the witnesses. Sometimes it seems as though you're kicking against the goad, you're getting nowhere, but you can sow a seed, someone else comes by and waters the seed, and God gives the increase. But the best way in witnessing to the witnesses is to stay with the main and the plain things, which is to say, the nature of God, the person and work of Jesus Christ, and how is one saved. So stick with the essentials of the historic Christian faith as opposed to going off on rabbit trails. And the reason for this is that the Watchtower teaches devotees to believe that Jesus was created by God as the Archangel Michael, and during his earthly sojourn, he became merely human, and then after his crucifixion, he was recreated an immaterial spirit creature. And of course, they also deny the centerpiece of the Christian faith, the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. Charles Taze Russell, their founder, actually said that the body that hung on the torture stake — they don't believe in a cross, they believe in a torture stake — either dissolved into gases or is preserved somewhere as a grand memorial of God's love. Christians, however, believe that Jesus bodily resurrected and is forever Theanthropos, the God-man. I've written about this in various places. If you want to hang on, I'm happy to send you some information to help you witness effectively to the witnesses. Back to the phone lines. Next up is Pam DuWest, South Carolina, listening on the web. Hi, Pam.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
Okay, now I don't believe everything I read online, but I was reading and they were saying that in Luke 23:43, that the comma is in the wrong place, like where it says, verily I say unto thee today, comma, instead of what it says, unto thee today you will be with me in paradise. In other words, they're trying to make it sense, because they said it was contradicting itself when Jesus appeared to Mary in 3 days and said she hadn't ascended to his Father yet.
Well, I mean, all of that is just nonsense. First of all, what other day would Jesus be speaking to the thief on the cross? I mean, obviously it is today. But
they were trying to make it sound like today.
No, I understand. Like I'm telling you today, what other day would he be telling him that? But the natural understanding here is that he would today be with Jesus Christ in paradise because he was going to die. And Jesus was promising that he would be with him. Just as Jesus said to the Father, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And Jesus made very clear what happened when a person died. They would be absent from the body, present with the Lord. In Luke chapter 16, the way it's described is two men die. And when they die, Lazarus is immediately carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom or paradise, and the rich man ended up in torment. So that happened instantaneously, and not only that, but if you are a believer, you are in paradise, and that is why Jesus was promising the thief on the cross who believed in Jesus on the cross that he would, because of his belief, because of his faith, be with Jesus in paradise that very day. For they were going to die, and therefore the body of Jesus would be buried, probably the body of the thief discarded. But nonetheless, the non-material aspect of their humanity would be with the Lord, speaking again in this case specifically of the thief.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks a lot.
You got it. Want to go back to the phone lines? We'll talk to Simon next in Alberta, Canada. Hi, Simon.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good.
Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I just have a question. My wife and I, we had a miscarriage a while ago, and I was just wondering what you could tell me about what the Bible says happens to the kid. And I know people talk about David and like it was the Lord's discipline when his son died. Just what happens, like in light of the New Testament, and I don't know if you could just answer.
Sure.
I can hang up.
Yeah. Well, Simon, when your wife gave birth, she gave birth to a body-soul unity. In other words, she didn't just give birth to a body. She gave birth to a body and a soul. That's what it means to be human. That's what it means to give birth to a human being. So at the miscarriage, the body of the baby died, but the soul of the baby, your baby, went on to be with the Lord. And so you have the assurance as a believer that one day you will be reconciled and you will forever be with your child in eternity. That's the very reason that David, in the same circumstance, was able to wash his face and go on with life. It is because he wasn't going to be with the child in time, but he knew that he would be with the child in eternity. And with that hope, we can carry on. So Christianity never gives us a peaceful way to come to terms with the difficulties of life, but it does give us something far greater, a way to overcome them through the promise of resurrection. We had the same circumstance. We had the death of a preborn child named Baby Grace. And the thing that helps you to counter the disorienting blow of death is the hope of resurrection, and that's what we cling to. There's no real answer to why. And anyone that wants to put a guilt trip on you cannot do so credibly because the Bible simply doesn't answer the why question. What it does teach us, however, is to trust Him in the midst of our whys. And Simon, that is precisely what you can do. Trust God, because the Bible in which He has revealed Himself demonstrates that He is indeed trustworthy. All too often in our culture, what happens is we try to paper over death with clever cliches. We try to drive death into the closet, but none of that really works. The only thing that ultimately works is a recognition biblically and truthfully that death is defeated. And therefore, we can say, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Only can that be said credibly because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which guarantees our resurrection as well. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions. Please don't touch that dial.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff. The history of Islam is one of wanton carnage and horrific oppression, and it has been whitewashed beyond recognition by our politically correct elites. According to credible sources, 120 million Africans, 80 million Hindus, 60 million Christians, 10 million Buddhists have been slaughtered in the name of Islam. And that doesn't include the millions of Muslims killed by other Muslims. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do. Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death.
Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Denise, listening in Lincoln, Nebraska. Hi, Denise.
Hi, Hank. I have a very quick question. I'm hearing on the radio people referring to Christian apologetics, and I don't know what that means.
Yeah, well, denotatively, it just means a reasoned defense or an answer. And it actually is derived from what Peter was explaining when he said, always be prepared to give an answer or an apologetic to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and with respect. So that's the idea. It's to give a reasoned defense or an answer.
So and to be able to quote scripture, to be able to give the Christian reason to any of those questions?
Yeah, it is giving an answer for the hope that you have. And as such, it's what I call pre-evangelism. So it's the handmaiden to evangelism. It's using an answer as a springboard or an opportunity to share the good news of the gospel. So someone has a question. It's not enough to answer the question, but you want to use your answer as an opportunity to share the gospel.
Okay, I understand. That's simple enough. Thank you.
You got it. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Anita. She's in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Anita.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I can't thank you enough, really. I feel like I have learned a lot through your ministry, but the question that I have today is regarding people that are gay or lesbians. I understand what the Bible says about that way of life, but I feel like our society has pretty much gotten to the point where we are looked at as being prejudiced if we don't accept that lifestyle. And I have a nephew who is struggling with that, and I don't know how to go about helping him.
Yeah, well, the first thing I think is to recognize that God sets parameters around our lives so that our joy might be complete. So the notion is never from a biblical perspective that God is some kind of a cosmic killjoy, but rather he knows how we are designed and wants us to live within proper parameters so that we don't hurt ourselves. So he's given us an owner's manual. That owner's manual is the Bible. In the prologue to your question, you said something very wise. You were saying, in essence, that homosexuality is not an identity. It is a behavior. You use the word lifestyle. And that's absolutely true. I think the culture has kind of imposed this false paradigm on us that homosexuality is an identity. I'm a homosexual. That's not true. It is a behavior. And there are all kinds of behaviors that we have predilections towards. And we have to, on the basis of God's word, say, I want to do it his way as opposed to doing it my way. And that's what repentance is all about. It's a U-turn on the road of life. It's saying, I think God knows better than I know, and therefore I'm going to turn and do it his way rather than my own way. That's the essence of the issue. And that's why I say that the issue is oftentimes solved when someone turns their heart towards home. When they do, then they want to start living in conformity to his will, as opposed to doing it their own way.
Okay, so how do I go about helping him? I mean, he was raised Christian, but my family is, they haven't said so to me. I think they know how strongly I feel about the subject, so pretty much nobody says anything. And I don't know how to go about helping him as far as being saved. I mean, I think they believe that he was born that way, and I just need to accept it and not bring it up.
Well, I think sometimes that's true. You testify by your life and by your love, and if necessary, use words. But when he sees the reality of Christ within your life, he may very well want you to communicate with him. I've had that very experience with friends of mine who were engaged in same-sex sexuality. And, you know, I testified by my life, I testified by my love. And then when they ran into very difficult circumstances, and I say that in plural because I'm thinking of two specific cases right now, they wanted to come to me because they trusted me and they wanted my advice. And that gave me the perfect opportunity to be a witness at that time. So I think that the same will that gets someone into a behavior has to be the will that gets them out of that behavior. But truly, homosexuality requires a person to contradict their own biology. In other words, it's sort of a self-evident truth when you think about it logically. God does not play a cruel joke on people by creating their minds and emotions for attraction to same-sex sexuality, and yet creating their bodies in direct opposition to that attraction. So common sense actually is enough to know that the lifestyle is not a lifestyle that comports with reality. And that's precisely what the Apostle Paul says. Even Gentiles without access to direct revelation of Scripture have enough evidence in the natural realm to discover God's aversion to homosexual behavior. So even if they don't get it by reading Scripture, natural revelation is enough to uncloak that mystery for them.
Okay. So do you have any advice for me? I mean, I just need to pray, maybe, and not say anything, because I have a very hard time. Like, I guess I'm concerned about his salvation, and I want to know that.
Yeah, but you can't talk anybody into the kingdom. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. So you need to be prepared. I've oftentimes said this, Anita. We must not focus as much on evangelism as equipping for evangelism, which is to say, if we are equipped, God will give us opportunities. But you can't talk anybody into the kingdom. And as you go through life, whether it's someone you deeply love and know very well or a stranger, we need to be prepared to always give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect. So we need to be ready to witness, but ultimately it's God that changes the heart. So we want to be an effective tool in his hands, but you can love anyone regardless. You can love them and prepare yourself, which is a demonstration of that love, to be able to testify when they want to hear. But trying to force feed someone is very difficult. You know, someone has well said that you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Well, that's true unless you put salt in the oats. And I think the salt in your oats is your life and your love. That makes people hungry to know what it is that's different about you and oftentimes opens the door for evangelism. In the meantime, demonstrate your love. Again, you obviously have a passion for this person. Demonstrate your love, but you can't talk them into the kingdom. You can pray for them.
Okay, thank you so much.
You got it. And, you know, we've got some good books by Joe Dallas, if you want to go to the web, at equip.org, some wonderful books. One's called The Gay Gospel, the other's Desires in Conflict, Hope for Men Who Struggle with Sexual Identity. So various really credible, wonderful resources. There's no one on the planet that knows this subject better than Joe Dallas and can more biblically and compassionately communicate the antidote.
Awesome. Thank you.
I will look into those. Okay, back to the phone lines. Talk to Lori in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Lori.
Hi, Hank. You say that when we hear things about the Bible, maybe I'll word this wrong, but you say we shouldn't take your word or just take it that it's true. We should check it out and be a Berean.
Yep, absolutely.
So I didn't know if I was going to articulate right what I'm going to say, so I asked you that. So, like, I read some stuff about Muslims recently, and I thought, you know, you kind of fall into it, and you think, oh, is that what they believe? And then I thought, I'm going to check it out, because I don't want to start believing stuff that I don't know for sure. Is it okay, do the Muslims believe that it's okay to lie to infidels if it furthers the cause of Islam?
Well, some Muslims do believe that, and they believe that there's a Quranic basis for doing that, but not all Muslims do. So just as there are a wide variety of beliefs held within Christianity, some biblical and some sub-biblical, so there are a wide variety of beliefs and behaviors that are encapsulated under the rubric of Islam.
Well, Hank, what I read was that the Quran teaches that. Like, I was reading that if there's something written earlier in the Quran that's peaceable and the same kind of information is written later and it's radical, they go by what is superseded. So they would go by the end one, which is more radical. And so I actually read that this thing about lying to infidels.
And that's what I just said in terms of answering the question. I used the word Quranic, but I was talking about the Quran. But there are various Islamic scholars that will interpret that in different ways and give you a different spin on it. And that's why I say the Islamic belief in this regard is not monolithic, it's multifaceted. We are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So long for now.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org.